Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Kia ora and good morning. David Slack, you there, mate?
I am. Morning, Johnny.
Now, this morning, we're taking a look at Nicola Willis and her position on capital gains tax. Nicola Willis, of course, Minister of Finance. Where do we start with this one, David Slack? It's kind of an interesting one. She's sort of going against the general advice of economic experts.
Well, that's a very good point right there, Johnny. The people have made a roll call of everybody who's said it's a good idea, a desirable direction to take to go for a capital gains tax, and it's pretty much everybody. You know, it's not just your usual suspects of a progressive liberal outlook, but people right across the financial spectrum have kind of said, no, there is actually no distinction to be made here between capital gains and income. It's it's in fact a little wrinkle that 19th century British judges pulled to find a way to distinguish the two. But in fact, you know, if you make a profit on buying a house and selling it 10 years later, that's income.
Nicola Willis has argued against capital gains tax, saying you can't tax yourself to prosperity. How do you interpret this perspective in the context of New Zealand's broader economic policies?
Well, it's emblematic, really, that their principal plank for campaigning for several elections has been to ease what they call the tax burden, to give tax relief. And it's such a misleading framing. Tax actually helps you make a better country. And if you want a good example of people taxing their way to prosperity, take a look at the Scandinavians.
Look at
Sweden, look at Denmark. You know, it is entirely workable for your economy to share the cost of improving the state of things in your nation for the general good, and becoming more prosperous as a consequence. United States, even their sweep of history from, let's say, the end of the Great Depression through to the sort of end of the 60s, that's marked by the New Deal, and then which was the state getting active and saying, well, look, if you just leave it to the market, you get the Great Depression. If we actually invest money using taxes to build the economy, good things can happen. And what happened in America? People became much more prosperous. There was full employment. There was a boundless prosperity post-war. And that was at a time when tax rates were way higher. You know, prevailing tax rates for the wealthier were way past 50%. And in New Zealand, comparable things took place in those post-war years. We took it for granted that if you had a high income, you would be paying two-thirds, you would be paying 66 cents in the dollar in your tax. But what happened in the Reagan-Thatcher neoliberal revolution of the late 70s, early 80s, is that it was this whole trope that said government needs to get out of the way. The most, you know, Ronald Reagan loved to use that expression, that saying, I'm from the six scariest words in the English language, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Now, all of this stuff was used to justify the self-serving, self-interested idea that lower taxes would actually make the boat go faster. That's actually a phrase that John Key keeps using. And it's self-serving nonsense. You actually do better when you spend enough. And where we are right now is we're a country that wants so very much, you know, adequate healthcare, adequate education, and so on, but we expect to pay so very little for it because of the whole trope that's been advanced of tax relief and relieving the tax burden. You know, and I wrote about this yesterday. I said, we've tried to cheat on this and it's not working. You know, we need to be paying a solid chunk more, and if we were, this so-called health crisis, which, you know, we're hearing about so much right now, might not be a crisis at all. And that's why I take issue with Nicola Willis saying you can't take your take your way to prosperity. It's the selfish, self-serving idea they've glommed onto as a vote winner, but it doesn't serve our best interests in the long run.
What impact do you think Willis's position on capital gains tax will have on her political credibility, given that most economic experts disagree with her assessment?
Painted into a corner, it feels to me, and the same goes for her leader. And I don't know whether, but they do seem to be very willing at this point to brazen this stuff out, possibly on the basis that they believe that any day now, or any month or year now, they're going to see a turnaround in fortunes, because they think that what they're doing, this slashing and burning, is going to make the boat go faster. I don't think it will, and I think that if you get a lot more of this, people are going to get a lot more disaffected. And you saw, you know, a huge turnout in Dunedin on the weekend with respect to the hospital decision, and that kind of discontent, I think, has to at some point give them pause and make them wonder if, you know, this notion they have that they're clean they're lean and mean and efficient and it's all going to work. Essentially what I'm saying is I think they're playing chicken here, and it's just a question of how long they hang on. But if while you have that kind of scenario of a roll call of everybody across the economic commentating spectrum saying we need a capital gains tax, it must surely at some point become maybe even easy for them to say, well, okay, you talked us around, you all want it, so here's your stupid capital gains tax, let's see how it goes.
RNZ's Corin Dan challenged Nicola Willis a couple of days ago by pointing out that most economists argue a capital gains tax would shift investment from unproductive housing assets in toward businesses. Why do you think Nicola Willis rejected this consensus?
Bloody-mindedness, to be frank. You know, people hate to admit they're wrong, and politicians know that it can undermine their credibility if they've taken a position and then flip-flopped on it. So there's that resistance. But it is just so bleeding obvious that this is our huge problem, you know, that we have. We have this great reliance on housing speculation to get rich. And you need look no further than the Prime Minister. Here's a guy who's made a shitload of dough. And what does he do with it? Does housing. He put it into bedding? Yeah. Does he put it into odd startups? Does he put it into interesting clean green innovation? No. He puts it into buy a house, buy another house, buy another property, and end up with seven properties, and surfs the tax-free capital gain benefits of it. And then he has the brass neck to assert that it will deter wealth makers, wealth generators, if we tax too hard. Listen, Bell, you're not getting taxed on that at all. And what's more, you're not wealth generating. You're contributing to the amplification of our dysfunctional housing market Ponzi scheme. You have contributed nothing at all, buddy.
Given that countries like the US and Australia have capital gains tax and still maintain strong business investment, do you think there are other underlying political motivations for opposing capital gains tax in New Zealand?
Yes, it's indulgence of people's reckons. There is this idea that I have a right to, because I work hard and I've put money into a house and tenant has paid the money on it, and the mania of our market has meant that people keep paying more than them, so I've made a big fat profit and I deserve to keep it. There is this idea holds deep, especially when it essentially is the principal way people look to make money in this country, by making it out of houses. They don't want that game to be undone. But any young person will tell you in this country, this has made it impossible for them. Where once you could buy a house at the rate of, say, two or three times your annual income. It's now 10 or 12. We know this. We've talked about this often enough. And yet it needs to be repeated because, you know, this is a deepening problem. And how the hell are people ever supposed to find their way into affording a house on this basis? And the stats tell us they can't. The stats tell us that ownership is steadily dropping from where it was 20% now to 70%, now on its way to 60%. This is all wrong. And capital gains tax won't fix all of that, but it is one of the aspects that, if you stripped of it, would take some of the momentum out of that.
Yes.
And that alone is reason for doing it.
Hey, David, I've got one last question for you. How do you think Willis's stance on capital gains tax might impact future tax policy discussions in Aotearoa, especially if National remain in power? Will this position have lasting effects?
Yeah, look, it kind of gets influenced in the end by enough voters wanting to protect the selfish interest. But you also do have the element of some of those people who've made their money out of it looking at their children or grandchildren or even great-grandchildren and realizing, oh, Jesus, this is not working for them. Because they then see those kids completely impeded from doing what they would recommend to them to do, which is do what I did, buy a house and wait. They can no longer afford to buy those. Now, that political calculation maybe plays into the vote at some point, and I hope to God it does, and I hope to God the numbers move enough that it becomes a less tenable position for the National Party to say, no, let's be selfish about this, let's be short-sighted about this, let's not change anything.
Hey, David Slack, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning.
Always a pleasure, Johnny.
We'll look forward to chatting with you in a fortnight's time.
Very good. See you then.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.